and invite you to stand as we tell you what. Okay, you're up. Some of you aren't up yet. Just stand up. I see it's a long portion of scripture, so I'm not going to read all of it, but you're up anyway. But it's found on page 4 in your pew Bible, if you want to go there, follow along. Genesis chapter 3, the very first book of the Bible. And we're looking at what is called the fall of mankind, is really what we're looking at here this morning. So let me just pray, and then we will go after it, and then you can see it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are reminded through your word of how this world got to be the way that it is, and it continues to go because of what happens here in the third chapter of Genesis. And so, Lord, oftentimes we may say to ourselves, the devil made me do it. And yet there's more to the story than just the devil. It's what sin has done to us because of what takes place here in the third chapter of Genesis. So I just pray, Lord, that you would just guide me and lead me as I preach your word, that it would your word would fall on good ground this morning and be received by the hearts that are here today. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to begin with by saying that we have three enemies. There are three enemies that all of us here have, and I'll tell you what they are. The first one is the world. And just to give a little biblical couple of verses where it was helpful to see this, is 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16 talk about the world. We know that Jesus came to save the world, to save the people in the world, but the world has also a sinister system that it wants to pull us away from knowing Jesus Christ. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, our first enemy here is the world is described this way. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, so these are the things that are really evil and bad that we deal with. This is kind of our makeup. This is in our DNA. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. It gives a little idea why the world is not for us. It is really kind of against us. The second enemy we have is our own flesh. The old man, the sinful man that we have, can never ever be converted. It is so terrible, gross, that even if you crucify it on a cross, it will fall off and it will still remain alive. You can't crucify the old flesh. And that's why we need a new birth. We need a new nature that is more powerful and better than the old nature that we are born with, the sinful nature. And only Jesus Christ can give us that. And he does when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And his Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and gives us a new nature. The last and the third enemy we face on a daily basis is then the devil. So we got the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I think there was some book made in the years ago that was the title. And the devil is what we find here in our text today, and we know that Jesus was tempted by the devil, and so the devil would like for everyone here and in the world to not think that he even exists. They're like, aha, get rid of that idea of the devil. I believe there is a devil. And some of you can probably be the devil sometimes, you know? Just ask your husband or wife that, you know, sometimes you play that trick every now and then. But Jesus went out into the wilderness right after he was baptized, led out by the Spirit of God, and was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. We find that in the Gospels, in the New Testament. The devil loves to make a person doubt God's word. He's really in the business of doing that. He'd like for you to ask yourself, you know, are you sure that the Bible is really God's word? He likes to cast doubt on God's word. Can you trust an outdated book like the Bible? Is the Bible really reliable for today, 2020? Of course, the answer to all three of those questions is yes. It is yes. Doubt. We go into the third chapter of Genesis. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, to Eve, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You see how he comes across as wanting to bring doubt in even into your life? Did he really say that? Is there really a God that we're going to have to answer to? Is there really a God that we should pay any attention to? I mean, why do you go to church? I mean, you're kind of wackos, aren't you? Even thinking that you can go to church and try to, or believe that you're talking to a God or spending time with him? The devil likes to play those kinds of mind games even with us, even with believers. And yet he comes to Eve, and it's like, you know, he says he's a serpent, you know, it's one of the names that the devil has given. There's a lot of different names that he's given, but we know that of all things, he's the father of lies. I believe he is referred to in the 8th chapter of John. He's the father of lies. You can't believe anything he says. He's a murderer from the beginning as well. There's nothing good about him. He is the opposite of everything who God is. And here he comes at a very vulnerable time and talks to Eve in the garden and wants to cast some doubt in her thinking about God. In the book of James, it says this about doubt. Chapter 1 of James. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. There's no anchor. Someone who's a doubter and just always doubting different things is never really sure on anything. And God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to know that we have an anchor that is in Christ. He is our hope. But a doubter is one who's just not sure about anything. You blow him here and blow him there. And that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Later on in the same chapter of James, it says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting. God never tempts us. But God will test us. But God will never tempt us. That is the work of the devil or Satan. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's what it says in the book of James. So we find that the devil comes and he wants to entice us and to tempt us to listen to his voice, to come in his direction. How many times has that happened in your life? Never. I'd say liar, liar, pants on fire. It happens to us as well. The devil goes on attempting even, you know, there's nothing wrong with being tempted. It's when we yield to it, then it becomes sin. When we listen to it and actually do what it says. Eve responds back and said, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Well, there's some truth there, but she adds something that God didn't say. God didn't say, touch it. He just said, stay away from it. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil were in the middle of the Garden of Eden, so they're kind of like, they're side by side. They're in the same vicinity. And God just says, look at everything you can have, but just stay away from that one tree. You know, it's so much like telling your kids, you know, you can have all the cookies you want, but wait till supper. And then you can get one or two. You think they'll wait till supper? They'll wait till you're out of sight. And then they'll grab one and come back and talk to you, and you probably got some chocolate or some crumbs around their mouth, and you go like, didn't you take a cookie? And they go like, no. And you go like, what's that around your mouth? And they wipe it off and nothing. That's what we as sinners are so good at doing. We think we do nothing wrong when we know that we have. He goes on and he says, the devil says, you surely will not die. I mean, come on. Nothing bad is going to happen to you if you eat from that tree. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Makes it sound so harmless. And what we find is that Eve listened and hung around way too long to be listening to the devil, the serpent. Because everything he's telling her is lies. It's just like what it says in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, it talks about hanging out with the wrong crowd. It says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Now, blessed is the one who doesn't hang around with people who are going to fill his or her mind with things that aren't true. So if you sit with mockers, guess what you will eventually become? You too will be a mocker. As you hang out with them, you sit there, you listen to them. At first it might not be that way, you're just there, you're just listening to them. But then you start thinking like them, and you start saying the same things they do. So the serpent's words, they made sense, it sounded good. Eve saw the fruit, it was pleasing to her sight. She reasoned that it was desirable for gaining wisdom, and I'm going to get something out of this, and it sounds like something good, to be wisdom, to be like God, and tell the difference between good and evil, and to be like God, it sounds pretty good to me. And so she then takes the fruit, looks good, she bites on it. I keep telling my confirmation kids, we don't know if it was an apple or not. The apple gets, I think, a bad rep. But she bites, she gives it to Adam, he takes a bite of it, and voila. Did it happen to both of them like the devil said? That something good is going to happen if they take a bite from this fruit, from this tree that God told them to stay away from. And we find it says that their eyes were opened, but they were opened in a way that they never were told it would, or what they could even be expected of how their eyes would be opened. Because the first thing they saw is that they realized about themselves is that they were both naked. Before, it didn't bother them at all. But see, sin comes into the world, and sin makes a difference and causes some damage. Where before they didn't notice one another's nakedness, now they do, and they feel ashamed by that. And then they went green. They ran and found some green fig leaves and sewed them together and covered themselves. And God comes to them in the cool of the day, walking in the garden, where before Adam and Eve would be there, they would have great fellowship, they would be able to walk together, they would talk together, and now God is saying hey, where are you guys? Of course, you know all the time what they are, you know what happened. But it's the first time that they find themselves hiding from God. They run away from Him, they hide. And now we see the effects of sin. And that's something that the devil didn't tell them about. That this is what's going to really happen. Remember, he's a liar. So they hide from God. They're afraid of God, and so they begin to play the blame game. Eve says, the devil made me do it. Adam said, Eve made me do it. And in our lives today, when something bad happens to us, we say, God, you did it. We start blaming God for things that happen in our lives. We never say, well, the devil is out to get me, the devil made this happen. We just automatically go to God. God made this happen, or allowed this to happen. So the blame game continues. And so what we see here then is a God who is holy, a God who is just. That's who He is. And whenever there is sin, there has to be consequences. There is a penalty that goes with sin. Because God is just, and God is holy, God is love. But He cannot allow one sin to stay in this world without a consequence. God cannot allow one sin to enter into heaven. Because if He lets one sin into heaven, it's not heaven anymore. And so then God judges the devil. You'll probably see Adam and Eve going, good, I'm glad he's getting something that he deserves. We're lying to us. And then God goes on and He judges Eve. Adam is probably going like, good for her. She made me eat it. If it wouldn't be for her, I wouldn't be in this situation. But then God also judges Adam. No one gets away with it. For unbelief, not believing in God's word to begin with. And then we find that it is God who goes out and finds them clothing that are made from animal skins. And He brings it to them to wear and to put on. animal skins. That meant that there was at least one animal or two animals that had to give up their life so that God could take their hide and make it into something that was usable. And we find that when it comes to sin in our lives, that there needs to be a shedding of blood in order for there to be forgiveness. Find that in the book of Hebrews, 9th chapter. Not sure what verse, but it's in the 9th chapter. I don't know how Adam and Eve felt at that time when they realized that some animal had to give up their life so that they could wear that animal's hide, leather, or Tarzan outfit, I'm not sure. But here's what I just want to leave with you today. Is that when it comes to temptation in the Garden of Eden, we see that man fail. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, I just looked at Matthew chapter 4. We see that Jesus triumphed. He won. Because he always used God's word in responding back to the devil's tactics. And that's why it's important to have a Bible study. That's why it's important to be reading God's word, so we can identify sometimes the tricks of the devil when he comes and tells us different things. We go like, "Well, that doesn't seem right. That's not what I read in the scriptures. That's not what I hear when I'm spending time in God's word." Eve depended on herself and her own reasoning, but Jesus depended on God's word. And the first thing that the devil likes to go after in any person's life is your identity. If he can get you questioning your identity, he's pretty much got you. Why do you think all of a sudden we're hearing all this gender neutral stuff? People don't know if they're male or female. I'm saying, look at your verse with me. She tell you right there. You got a problem, think who you are. God created us male and female. But the devil likes to come in and I'll start changing your identity. And I just don't get it. I don't understand this at all. But that's the tricks. That's what sin does. It likes to twist the truth or hide the truth or make it into something it's not ever meant to be. I just say praise God for Jesus Christ who comes and gives us the truth that sets us free and forgives us of our sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are all here today as people who have been affected by what went on here in the Garden of Eden. The sin of Adam and Eve is passed on to everyone who came after them and from them, which is us. Thank you how you knew what we needed from the very beginning. And he knew how it was going to happen. But little did we ever know that it would take your one and only Son to lay down his life and to shed his blood in order for us to be forgiven, to receive eternal life and be set free, to live a life that's different here on this earth, that one day will be with you and the rest of the saints because of our faith in Christ. So Lord, as we also come to your table here shortly, may we recognize the fact of what was paid for us and the beauty of your forgiveness that is granted to us as you invite us to come to your table to receive your body and your blood by faith. The elements do not change, but it's when they're received by faith, Lord, there's something you do during this time that strengthens our faith and forgives us of our sin, that helps us to serve you each and every day. So use this time, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.